It's time to prepare the bride. It's time to be holy and purified. Time for her flesh to be denied. For all that is in her will Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Mama Show. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy. Today we are going to begin a series called Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. This will include resources, tips, and information, and a checklist for you to go through so that you can check off or at least give some thought as to whether or not you need to prepare and have these things for a grab bag or to flee or to hunker down in your home. And these are common sense, practical things that are really necessary for everyday living in many cases, but especially during these times when we have flood, famines, hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever may come, which is part of the birth pain for the birth of the nation of Israel and the kingdom of Yahuwah. Our special guest during this series is Suzette Robinson. Suzette lives in Michigan, and she is also Shoshana, or she provides Shoshana's linens at remnantremedy.net's category for transitional affordable linen, which is a category that we have for shopping for used linen or maybe sometimes new, but at very affordable prices, so you can affordably purchase linen clothing for you to transition your wardrobe towards a linen wardrobe. These shows were originally played live and have been recorded, so they may be a little bit outdated when we refer to current events. This first show was recorded on November 29th, 2012. Today we are starting with part one in this series with Suzette Robinson. Suzette, tell us a little bit about, you have been doing some preparation skills presentations like at Sukkot in different places. You want to tell us just a little bit about that?
Your question dropped out. So.
Okay. Well, the question was I was telling the audience that you have been doing some preparation shows or presentations, and you had done one at Sukkot. And so maybe if you just want to talk a little bit about that you did this and that you're doing this, and we're going to take this and do the radio show and kind of plug in some stuff I had done on a preparation show. So maybe just share a little bit about that and what you do. Okay, we're losing and we have no sound. And so we're going to wait for her to call in. Of course, a lot of people know today that they are voting on the Palestinian status, and there's a lot to pray about that. The first thing I kind of would like to cover while I'm waiting for her to call in is that we have down in Africa, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that there has been a conflict with the rebels and the government, and they are killing and executing Christians and Torah observant congregations and their families. And so we really need to pray for them. And then we, of course, need to pray for the situation that's going on with Palestine and the United Nations vote. It is just, if it's still going on presently, I haven't had a chance to check with that. And this is all important and kind of tied into preparation, because we are really getting thrusted in to this time. Hopefully, we have spiritually prepared ourselves, and that we are going to have that more and more, and we do need to do physical preparations, even though none of us know really what exactly we have to do. I mean, we could do all kinds of physical preparations and end up being nomadic and not be able to hunker down. And so those are just different things that we need to really be concerned about. And it looks like Susan's trying to call in now, so I'm waiting for the board to call in, and let's see if we can get this answered. Okay, here we go. Shalom, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
Anyway, so you were sharing with us a little bit about what you were doing with the preparation presentations.
Yes, I started actually the first Sukkot after I came into Torah in 2009, and Father has just had me do this different Sioux Coats and different groups. And I don't know how it happened. It just happened. It's one of those things he just, I guess, handed to me because of my personality. And I've always been, a prepared type person. And I really enjoy it. And I get to share with people and help people get ready for what we believe is coming soon.
Well, I was sharing with them a little bit about what was going down in the Africa, in the Congo, and how pastors, Christian pastors, and Torah observant families were being executed and murdered there, that we needed to pray about that. And do you want to share a little bit about the information about what's going on, or was going on earlier, maybe a few hours ago, if not still currently, about the Palestinian condition and status?
Yes, the UN today, a lot of people were watching that. The Palestinians were asking for an upgraded status at the UN. And some people are calling it a bid for statehood. It doesn't quite come out like that, but I think they went from unobserver to observer status, which essentially is recognizing them as a people. So we know the next step, if they're recognized, you know, as a greater status as a people, the people have to have a place, and we know where that place is that they want. So it's a very historical moment in Israel's history and in prophetic history.
Amen. And one of the things that I've noticed watching Yahweh's calendar through the years and looking and watching the patterns and dates and times is I find it very fascinating that if you go back to the Balfour Declaration, and I get these mixed up, it's been quite a while since I've done it, but if I understand and remember correctly, when they came in to defile the temple during the time of the Maccabees, it was on the 15th day of the ninth month. And when they actually went to sacrifice the pig in the temple, I believe it was on the 25th day. And we find ourselves today, and when I had researched this before, when I had the software, I believe it was the Balfour Declaration and the time that they instigated all of that, it was actually on either the 15th or 25th day of the ninth month. And of course, I believe that prophetically, the abomination desolation situation that we're going to see again is going to be on exactly that same time frame again with the Antichrist. And so we're looking at here today with them doing something big again with Palestine and Israel on the 14th day in the United States. However, it is the 15th day in Israel. And so that's pretty interesting to look at. And you had said something about the sister cities between New York and Jerusalem.
Yes, there's more than one sister city for a large cities like that, but New York and Jerusalem are sister cities, one pair of sister cities. And that's really interesting when you think about Jerusalem is the apple of Yah's eye, and New York is considered the big apple. And it's traditionally shown as an apple with a bite out of it, which we know has come to symbolize sin, even if it wasn't necessarily an apple in the garden. That symbol has come to recognize the first sin. So it's really prophetic, and, you know, like Father does, he shows us things in so many levels and so interesting, and every little thing is connected.
Yes.
And New York is also an early capital of the United States.
Wow. All right. So some of the things that we learned as we were trying to prepare for this show is that we were looking first at the purpose and introduction to the show. And do you have something to share there?
Yes, this is to help people generally get ready for things. And we know that Yah is ultimately who provides for us and protects us and watches over us. But this is to help people have a starting point on the physical preparation. But by all means, the spiritual preparation is the number one aspect.
Amen. Amen. So, us, you know, I would say a majority of us have been preparing for a long time, but we still find that there are so many people coming into the faith and awareness, whether you're still in Christendom or, you know, Messianic Judaism or just an average American in this country, to realize that something is not right. And we are getting ready to face some really, really hard times. And some of us are things serious. Some of us are really waking up and starting to take things serious. And then some of us have been preparing for a long time, and we are just getting tired of the, you know, the little boy crying wolf and keep thinking, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And so I think we get a little bit lackadaisical. I know that for us, it's been like that. I mean, for 19 years, we've been trying to prepare spiritually, physically, And, and then again, there's only so much that you can do physically. I know that some people get really crazy and overboard with all this physical preparations, but if you aren't spiritually prepared and you can't, and you haven't learned how to walk with his voice and know his voice and know what to do and where to go and to respond to him, it's really not going to do you any good to have all this physical preparation. And you can, unwisely use your funds for something that maybe he's not calling you to. On the other hand, maybe he is calling you to take some reasonable, logical, common sense steps.
Absolutely. His guidance is key, and we know that by faith we prepare because we believe what his scriptures say, and we believe what has been prophesied to come to pass, and we see these things starting to happen. But our walk with him is the greatest thing. And we may prepare, and we may be in a place where something happens where all of our quote stuff is not with us. So we ultimately have to rely on him, and we have to rely on our knowledge and our skill and our confidence with him, but in ourselves, that we have trained our minds to prepare and to be used to doing things differently or thinking differently when these situations come up.
Suzette will share some verses with us on preparation when we come back right after this short message. Check out Remnant Remedy's exclusive essential oil blend, Hadassah. Hadassah is a unique blend of the precious Torah oils at an affordable price, which are known to change DNA. It is believed that the sons of Aaron may have had their DNA changed with their distinctive Y chromosome markers that can be traced from ancient times until today, when they were anointed with the Torah oils prescribed by Yahweh. Those that have used Hadassah and Cohen have used them for migraine headaches, for calming, for depression, to take away the sting and the swelling and the redness of bee stings, skin conditions, and best of all, to condition your shofar. Cover your shofar with our Hadassah Kohen oils and smell the aroma for months to come. When you blow your shofar, the vibrational sounds will be released along with the signature frequencies of the Torah oils. For more information about Hadassah and Kohen, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Bookstore and click on Remnant Remedy. Welcome back to the Remnant Mama Show. This is Nitza Moshe with Suzette Robinson, and we are discussing preparedness and practical skills for the Remnant Bride, and we will continue. And so do you have a couple of verses maybe to share with us on that?
Yes, Psalm, I think it's 44:6. For I do not trust in my bow, and my sword does not save me. So even though we may prepare, we may get things that we need, ultimately it is Father that watches over us and protects us. So no matter what you prepare with, don't cling to your preparations and believe that that is going to get you through everything. And because you have your physical preparations, that there's no need for you to, say, evacuate if you feel like you should or you are told to evacuate, or that you can't leave your stuff, or if you don't have your stuff, that you can't get through a situation.
Right. And I think one of the biggest things is that we really do need to learn his voice, because there may be steps in this whole process. It may be a period of, if you're in the cities that you need to flee to another place that you prepared, or a place that, will receive you. Then there are those of us who have moved out and we think that we're getting ready to hunker down, and we may hunker down for a while, and then people will be running and we are purposely here for that. But that is just the beginning of those birth pains, and we may eventually all end up broken up, nomadic, and the reserves or whatever we do have left will either maybe be taken by those who are invading or left for the next wave of those who are waking up that will flee. And so we need to hold loosely to what we have, but we also need to return. And this is what I think is so sad about when we talk about preparedness skills, etc., that why do we call it survival and preparedness skills? I mean, yes, it helps you prepare, and yes, it helps you survive. However, 50 years ago, definitely 100 years ago, we were an agricultural society. And anybody in an agricultural society knows that you prepare for the winter, you prepare for the famine, you prepare for the year that the crops aren't so good or your flocks aren't so good. And so really, it was just common sense, logical, everyday living. And now we have been raised a generation or two that we depend on the system and the grocery stores. We don't know how to raise our own anything. And what little bit we do it's really probably not going to be enough to sustain our whole family year after year. And we didn't used to have the cash and money. I mean, if any of you can out there think about Little House on the Prairie, cash was not needed except for very few things because everything was grown or produced yourself and you bartered or traded with someone else. So a lot of this is common sense that we're just trying to get back to and restore.
Absolutely. And here's some scriptures on that. Proverbs 6, 5 through 8. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the trapper. Go to the ant, you lazy one. See her ways and be wise, which, having no commander, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest.
Right, and there's a time and season for everything.
Even the insects know to gather when it's time to gather, and to put provision away when it's there. We have
Right, and
definitely
we
gotten away
just
from that
think
in this society. Like you said, we
that
call it survival, but back then it was just the way they lived.
Right, and unfortunately, I would say the average American doesn't have more than a couple of meals in their fridge or freezer. And then they're dependent on the fridge and freezer and electricity, much less maybe a supply of foods or grains or something to sprout or something like that in a closet. And that's
And the
sad.
scary,
That's very sad.
yes, and the scary thing about that is that the stores have what is considered a 3-day supply. There's an old saying that says any city is 9 meals from a riot, because consider that most cities, with the just-in-time delivery system, most cities have only 3 days worth of food on the shelves. But I can tell you that having gone to the store when there's an expected event coming, like big storm or something where we're expected to lose power or an interruption in service, the shelves are often empty before the thing even hits, which is encouraging that people know to start getting stuff. But if you're running to the store and you need most of what you need at the last minute, right before it hits, you may not find it even then. And if something happened before you had the chance to go run to the store, you may not even get there. So this is why we encourage to get a basic amount of supplies and items for you to have so that your last minute preparations are simple.
Right, and I can tell you from I live in Northwest Montana now, but when we lived in Florida, when the hurricanes got ready to come, because you were keeping an eye on them, most people didn't last. I mean, they wouldn't go to the store and really do something until they said, yes, for sure, it's coming. But even then, when you went, there was no water. And I remember in 2004 when those hurricanes, 1, 2, 3, 4 came, boom, 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 that one of those times, the Father, the Holy Spirit just said, it's time to leave now. And we got up, we left immediately. And if we had waited, say, an hour or two, we would have never gotten out of the state. And we were all the way up near Nashville, Tennessee, waiting to see what the storm would do. And even from Nashville, Tennessee, which is a good, I would say, 700 mile drive from where we could not buy generators to take back to Florida. And you can pretty much, in all the trips I've made, I have seen that all the way to the Mississippi. When something strikes an area, say in South Florida, that all the water and the generators and things like that, they're being taken and sent down. And then if you think about it, look at your wood prices and all these things that are having to be done, say like drywall that's being shipped now to the Northwest, excuse me, the Northeast and all along the Eastern Seaboard. So you really have to think about these things way ahead of time and be prepared so you're not having to make a trip when it's time for something imminent to come. And
Yep.
before we talk about the definition, Suzette, is there anything else you want to share right here?
What is an emergency? That's what pe most people, what is an emergency and how do we deal with that? An emergency is something that happens outside the box and it usually causes destruction. An emergency generally, the natural emergencies we see are tornadoes, hurricanes, drought, all of those are destructive. But anything that just happens that's not part of your normal routine, running out of gas on the highway or a power outage from a tree limb on a power line, that's what caused the blackout of 2003. It was one tree limb on a power line in Ohio, and the whole East Coast was out for up to 3 days in some areas. It's just something that happens out of the normal routine, and we have to learn how to deal with those because more and more are coming.
Well, and something to consider, which I don't think most of us want to talk about, But one of the things that really concerns me is not just a natural, either it's man-made or weather manipulation,
Right.
however that comes, is what happens when the day comes, and I personally am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it will come, that we are somewhere and we are attacked and things start going crazy and you don't have internet and you don't have cell phone and you may be on the road somewhere and you won't be able to get home. Or let's say you're home and then you've lost all communications. So those are things to really think about that are going to be outside your little box.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why we make these plans ahead of time. One of the things that we talk about is to have a place of safety determined beforehand, because like you said, if you run out of communication and some of your family members, and we all have family members who aren't really listening to what we've been saying and warning about, and we hope that they come to see what is going on, but depending on when they see that and what is happening, we want them to be able to, if their hearts have turned and they are seeking refuge, we want to be a witness to them. And we need to have those things established ahead of time that this is where we'll be. If things break down or such and such happens, this is the place to go.
Because we can get into so many side topics here, let's go in and talk about the definition of destroy. And just bear with me here as I read through this, and we'll talk a little bit about it. One, to demolish, to pull down, to separate the parts of an edifice, the union of which is necessary to constitute the thing, as to destroy a house or temple or destroy a fortification. It could be ruin, to bring to naught, to annihilate, to lay to waste. And this word destroy, which you were talking about earlier, and we found that it was interesting that it included the word separation. And as we continue to look at some of these other words, it says that in chemistry, destroy can mean to resolve a body into its parts or elements. Well, what is resolve? Resolve is to separate the component parts of a compound substance, or to reduce to its first principles. And if we apply this to the house of Israel, and that we are dispersed amongst the nations, then I think if we look at destruction, emergencies, and crises from this perspective, this is encouraging, because instead of looking at these things as something just bad and horrible, which they are, we can look at it as hope. That Father is using all of these different things to bring repentance, restoration, and a separation of his people, and the difference between the wheat and the tares. And so let's look here a little bit more. We go into, I thought we had another word here for emergency, and I don't know, it seems like. Looks like my notes didn't work right. I've been having a lot of email problems and computer problems this week, and I don't see them all. But we also looked at some of the Hebrew words, and everything that we found, like for emergency, comes from the word emergence, for something to rise up out of. Well, aren't we waiting for the nation of Israel to rise up out of something? When we had the Exodus, we had all these plagues and all these things that were happening, and out of that rose up people, Yahweh's people, and they were separated. Well, we're out of time today. This is part 1A. Please join us again in part 1B as we will continue to discuss definitions and why we might want to use Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. We will also cover the four areas that you need to make a checklist for preparedness, which include auto, general basic emergency supplies, your flea bag or bug out bag, your Exodus bag, and first aid. You can also download a free PowerPoint and resource information and this checklist that we will be going through at www.paintedtongue.com. May your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shemen. Shalom.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat.